say it.
Right to your customers.
That's bullshit.
It's like you shouldn't involve me in your politics.
Oh, that's
like,
so good.
An honest opinion. I don't want to know what your.
That's unbelievable.
Oh.
You should really give us.
John's spitting out his gum.
Tim Tams.
Tim Tams. For those of you who don't know, well, first of all, welcome. Welcome to the shoe.
No, we're doing a shoe?
We're doing it.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hot show. What show?
For those of you who don't know, we have one Australian listener.
Yeah.
Leslie.
Oh, that's right. I didn't hear from him this month. I'm getting a little disappointed.
There is a giant crocodile attack.
Or tsunami.
Is everybody good with their microphone?
How am I?
I think so.
I don't know. Australian's favorite cookie is Tim Tam.
Tim Tams sind Schokoladenbiskuits mit aller Füllung und Schokoladenüberzug. Man kann sie für ganz erstaunliche Dinge benutzen, wie zum Beispiel als Trinkhalm für Milch oder als Bulettenersatz für einen vegetarischen Burger.
Tim Tam Burger.
Für Geschicklichkeitsspiele wie Domino. Oder zur Errichtung massiver Monumentalbauten. Oder ganz einfach als Schmuck.
And it's my favorite cookie.
Yeah, now it's
really
my favorite cookie.
It really is.
And it's a wonderful cookie.
If the Girl Scouts sold these, they'd be
and
like
I didn't know anything about it.
Multi-million-dollar business.
But apparently, if you go to Wikipedia, Tim Tam, or Google Tim Tam Slam, the Tim Tam Slam is you take the cookie. First of all, this is like a wafery cookie enrobed in chocolate.
Enrobed.
If you buy, and it's like a tomb. It reminds me of those tombs at Ringwood Manor, right?
Yes.
Take two of these.
You can make lay on
the slab, yeah.
Yeah, you can make little chocolate graveyard out of it.
What you do is you bite off each end, you make a straw out of it. So. Okay. Apparently, they're supposed to be in Target now. Have you seen them in Target, John?
I think I have.
Really?
Here we go.
So let me see. You can see through it? There's a straw?
Your coffee's too hot.
His glasses.
It's beautiful.
Your glasses are all fogged up. Those things are so good, man. I really could literally eat a package of those in like 2 minutes.
I could only eat two.
You're only allowed.
My fitness pal. Hey, listen, all you like other fat guys like me and girls.
Here you go, preaching.
If any girls actually listen to this podcast.
If I can do it, anybody can do it. And it's all thanks to the track man.
Hey, the track man!
Like, hey, Mike, this is my fitness pal.
Like, what?
Aww.
It's like my fitness pal.
That's sweet.
It helps you lose the fat.
It's free. You see, I couldn't calculate calories. Because people like tell you, oh, calories don't count. Bullshit.
Baloney, they sure
like
do.
Baloney shimoney. You eat whatever you want, just count the calories. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, welcome to the Alternative Cinema Podcast.
Yeah.
This is episode
64.
No. Ooh.
63.
I want to say 39.
39 lashes.
And I'm here in the studio. This is June 2012. Pretty soon summer will begin.
Yeah.
This is an exciting episode because I always have something special for Erin Russ.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah. What do you have for
it's
me?
It's awesome. Erin Russ, she's like the sister I don't have. Sorry, Nancy, but you're out.
Oh.
Erin is in.
Forgot you, I'm a sister.
Yeah, so did I. All right, so here in the studio to my left is Erin Russ, Russ.
Moral.
Hi, Erin.
Hi.
William Hellfire.
Hey, what's happening?
And John's Fidelis.
Oh, my God, I love these things.
How many do you have, two?
It's not going to be my last yet, it's two.
Oh, that's so good. Tim Tam. Apparently, they're at the Target. They're Australia's favorite cookies, and now they're our favorite cookies. I kid you not. And it's like, go get it. Go eat them. Have two. Two is one serving.
Okay.
So on my Fitness Pal,
you
log in your name and get in there, and then it has a daily record. You type in everything you eat, and it tells you, like, for example, I only have 2,000 calories a day. And it's
hard.
It's not that difficult.
Really?
I've been doing it okay. First of all, I'm just fed up. I want to be the old Mike. Do you remember the old Mike?
Sure do. Skinny as a rail.
Old Mike at the 440. Remember we were hanging
skinny
out?
Skinny as a rail.
I forgot to bring that picture for you to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. But anyhow, so I'm trying my best. And maybe by the December podcast, I'll be back to my old self.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be a Merry Christmas for me.
Yeah.
Although it won't be so much fun sitting next to you.
Yeah. My Fitness Pal. But anyhow, this podcast, this radio
like
show.
Fat Mike. Come here, Mikey.
Is, well, you know what I'm fearful of? My siblings are getting a bashing today.
Okay.
If I get thin, I'll look more like my brother.
No. Yeah. I doubt it.
Heavier people look jollier and look healthier, in my opinion. Well, and if you're thin, you look older and more shriveled.
Well, is that true?
That's what they say.
You look younger than I do, that's for sure.
I don't have too many wrinkles.
No, I got a lot. I got fucking slammed the last 3 years.
So this... You did. I swear, John, you
it was
aged
overnight. Yeah,
usually
sure
making...
Everyone was like, oh my God, John Fratelli's same from 20 years ago. I'm like, yeah, that son of a bee.
Yeah.
Usually it's making movies that makes people age.
No, that
you know,
didn't...
The late
that,
nights
I
and all that.
That made him younger.
That, yeah,
because
that
every girl on
the
set
clock.
Wanted John.
Yeah.
Everyone loves John.
Oh, everybody loves John.
And a few guys.
You should start a fan club.
I should, yeah. I'll start my own fan club.
No, we'll start a magazine.
We should definitely have a mantle photo of John Fratelli, like nude.
Yeah.
Nude on the mantle.
Yeah,
You are people like you so much, John. I bet you that our male listeners would want a nude shot of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, stop.
Because they want to be like you.
Okay.
So this is AC Podcast, Alternative Cinema. It's sponsored by Alternative Cinema, the catalog company, the DVD catalog company.
Yeah.
And that's how we're here, because there's a catalog company. People are buying our creepy DVDs, and this is like cult movies and hard to get. It's very varied now.
It is very varied.
I mean, you have like from like the bottom of the barrel filth to all the way up to like, you know, Horror Express.
Yeah.
And greater.
It runs the gamut.
Yeah, it runs the gamut.
Gamut.
Yeah.
This is my
the gauntlet. It runs the gauntlet. Runs the gauntlet. DVDs and Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you never get bored looking at that catalog, I'll tell you that.
Yes, it does. Today we have listener letters. We're going to be talking about news, upcoming releases this fall. We're going to be talking about some screenings. We're going to be talking about some past events. I'm going to be introducing a new segment called VHS History... According to Michael Rosso, Chapter 1, 1977.
Nice.
So this is not based on any fact. It's just based on your recollections.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. Okay. Well, the thing is, you know, well, I might as well just get right into it. There's a past event, May 19th. Severed Cinema had a VHS short film event. It was organized by a cat named Earl Kessler. That's a Bill Hellfire expression. Cat.
A cat, yeah.
It was at the Sherman Theater in Stroudsburg, PA. John, you're not going to believe this. Like, these kids, you know, I say kids, I guess anywhere from like 18 to 30.
Mm-hmm. They're kids to us, yeah.
Yeah, kids to us. Well, us. Mean, like, the table's divided here. It's like
I'm
me,
not a kid anymore.
John.
I'm 31.
Oh, shit. None of us are kids.
I'm a woman now.
You are a woman. Yeah, that's even better.
Anyhow, all these young people.
Yes, youngins.
They're like celebrating shot on video and like direct to video VHS.
That's great.
Yeah.
Like from when I was 13 to now, I mean, I went from being a fan to collecting VHS to selling VHS, and I've seen like the gamut.
Right.
You know,
and
you've seen the whole cycle of it.
So let's see. Attending was Victor Bonacore.
And Jimmy.
Jimmy's Screener's Claws.
Screamer
Claws. Oh, okay.
Screener Claws.
Screener.
They're promo. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Screener Claws.
Hey, can you send me a screener?
They were promoting Mountain Oddities. It's a VHS line. Oh, you have news?
That's a part.
Okay, good. Okay, so Tina Krause was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a name I haven't heard in years.
Yep. Louis Justin, the distributor of 555.
Nice.
Rob Housechild of Wild Eye Releasing.
Hey, Rob.
Josh Schaefer of Lunch Meat Magazine, amongst others.
Josh.
Lunch Meat Magazine.
Even our old friend Chris I'm reading this. Even our old friend Chris LaMartina was there.
Oh, no kidding.
Old friend. Yes. John, I've known him since 19... No, I'm sorry. I've known him since 2007.
That's an old
sort
friend.
Of an old friend. It's only 4 years.
I know the track man since...
Was it 12? I'm still thinking it's 2011, for Christ's sake.
I know the track man since 1971.
Yeah. That's insane.
Whoa, great year.
Yeah.
You guys weren't even born yet, were you?
Not yet.
Nope.
Chris LaMartina did Book of Lore, Grave Mistakes from Camp Motion Pictures, and he also did a segment on Faces of Schlock.
Oh.
Who? Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah. Monster Face.
So we're going to have Aaron Russ news, like a bunch of news. We'll be talking about the past Chiller event. Williams, what are you reviewing this show?
Oh, what do I got here? I'm going to talk about Johnny Dickey's Slaughter Tales.
Yes.
A 13-year-old horror filmmaker. He's about 14 now, but he was making this movie when he was 13. And looks like it may be getting distributed even, and it'll be out there for fans to see. It's pretty wild.
Wow.
I'm going to talk about Rankin Bass and the Last Dinosaur.
Whoa.
And I've actually brought the Last Dinosaur song, theme song to play.
Is it like a Shirley Bassey kind of thing?
Shirley Bassey?
You know, like Goldfinger.
Sort of.
Not quite. He's the man who coats women in gold.
Wow. Very nice. That's
he
very
paints
start
women in gold paint, right? He's like sicko.
He's sicko.
That movie should be in the AC catalog, Goldfinger. Excuse me, do you have
Gold-fingered.
Do you have any, like, you know, movies where girls are painted in, you know, in gold paint?
Gold duct tape.
Gold fingered.
Gold duct tape.
And then I'm going to do just talk a little bit about a highlight of the AC catalog, and that's Horror Express. Blu-ray.
Wow, really?
Yeah. We should all talk about this.
Gotta get me that.
Get it. It's good.
It's a real joy to be here.
Eating Tim Tams.
And drinking.
I hope that you folks out there listening are having as much fun as we are. And I am right
just
now.
Hanging out, right? The Tim Tams really help make it. You should eat pizza with this guy.
John. I wonder if people think we smoke weed on the show, like if we're like stoned or something.
Can you imagine if we were?
No,
this would be a 4-hour show, and it would just
be malfunctioning.
No, there's no way.
I'd be off my lid.
There'd be a lot of repetitive madness going on.
Yeah, we'd just be going, okay, wait a minute. Did we talk about this
already? I give a lot of credit to people who say they're creative or functional on weed because I can't do it.
I was.
No.
You were.
Yeah, we know about her
then
exploits.
Again, I didn't do much.
Yeah. But it's a labor of love. If you smoke every day, then I think you get used to just functioning.
Coffee's good.
Yeah, like I drove.
It is good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Yeah,
you're better because you're really focused.
Is that right?
That's
you're not, like, looking
say.
At the radio,
smoking,
like...
Though.
I was a lot better drunk because...
I get, like, zoned in on stuff.
I love driving drunk because you knew if you got in an accident, you wouldn't feel a thing.
So we'll take a quick break and pay the bills.
All right, let's pay some bills.
All right, so when talking about this spot for AC... So it means you need to go there and buy something. So
just peruse it. I'm sure you'll find something.
We don't
hit
you up for money here. So
we don't have fundraising.
We don't have a Kickstarter account.
Nope.
No. So go buy something. Maybe. Buy the catalog. Oh shit, that's free. No, maybe it's $5 now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Hey, we'll be right back. Oh, nice.
This program is brought to you by Alternative Cinema, your online source for independent DVDs and video dedicated to the enjoyment of independent and underground movies that range from the brilliant to the bizarre and everything in between. AlternativeCinema.com.
Here's Gene from Third Eye Cinema and this month's roll-in on Doris Wishman.
This is Gene from Third Eye Cinema, taking you behind the lens. Doris Wishman was born in New York City, apparently at the turn of the century, though she was always quite evasive about her age. Entirely self-taught, she started her exploitation career in 1960 with the amazing Hideout in the Sun, a bizarre and hilarious mix of heist picture and nudist camp film, available on a highly recommended 2DVD set from Retro Seduction Cinema. Doris had become known alongside Herschel Gordon Lewis and Barry Mann as one of the main auteurs working in the field of the nudie cutie, producing no less than 8 films in the subgenre, of which only 3 remain lost. Included in this batch of films is the unusual Nude on the Moon, another genre hybrid adding 50-style science fiction to the standard nudie tropes of languorous long shots on sky-clad folks playing volleyball, lounging around pools, playing tennis, and even performing archery, while being sure to cover any full-frontal naughtiness with a well-placed leg or convenient shrubbery. With the dawn of the hippie movement and avant-garde experimental and arthouse cinema opening the doors to a more general embrace of nudity on film, Wishman followed Lewis into the realm of the roughie, where she would arguably remain throughout the course of her filmography. With their grim and sordid focus on the grittier side of sexuality, these films better fit the head-scratching sensibilities of mainstream America by making ostensible obeisance to puritanical moralists, with their tales of sin and punishment, and the sure recompense and degradation to be suffered by the loose living and the innocent who fall into the clutches of such unsavory types unaware. But while most films in this subgenre tend to veer towards the distasteful and grim, Darz's entries were so over the top as to invite laughter and enjoyment at the absurdities of the very premise. Shot on the cheap and murky black and white, Darz's films are almost exclusively post-dubbed, with it being a bit of a game to see which parts Darz herself winds up voicing in each. With an unintentional fetishistic focus on footwear, Darz's awkward and fourth-wall-breaking shifts in focus to tchotchkes, furnishings, bric-a-brac, and potted plants were intended to mask real changes in the fact that the actors did not appear to be speaking the lines that were eventually to be heard on film. Darz's overwrought romance novel-level dialogue for her films was so ridiculously inane that she was able to transform two Greek films she had no involvement with otherwise, The Hot Month of August and Passion Fever, into becoming something of her very own when she inadvertently lost the actual translation of the films while returning to the U.S. with her acquisitions. The best of her films in this period is probably My Brother's Wife, which stars her usual repertory cast, including New York exploitation regulars Darlene and Dawn Bennett and June Roberts, as well as perennial Wishman baddie Sam Stewart, and which exemplifies all the traits discussed herein. During her later years, she produced some stunningly gauche and boundary-pushing films, including two films with the repulsive Chesty Morgan, the infamous transsexual study Let Me Die a Woman, the Jekyll and Hyde by way of penis possession epic The Amazing Transplant, and the delightfully sleazy taboo exploration Love Toy, before making a pair of porn films with legendary Annie Sprinkle, inclusive of the horror porn hybrid The Haunted Pussy. While she stopped making films in the early 80s with the disastrously confused Patchwork that was released as A Night to Dismember, she'd be lured back to filmmaking in the final years of her life to give us the amazingly titled Dildo Heaven, and something of a return to her earlier style with Satan Was a Lady, before passing away in 2002. Darz Wishman, a truly unforgettable name in classic exploitation. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, check out Third Eye Cinema on Blog Talk Radio. For more information and upcoming guests, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/Third Eye Cinema.
Thank you very much, Gene, and now back to the studio. Hey, we're back.
Is that a hiccup?
I didn't bring it, but our brand new AC catalog is out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and it comes with a...
Yes, I didn't bring that either, but you didn't see it, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
For video violence.
Shoot in a bucket.
He saw the printout.
Oh, remember last time, the printout?
Oh, that was for that? No.
Yeah.
Way to go.
There's a color ad.
It's the alternative.
I got it in the mail.
Oh, you did. That's fun, right?
Yeah, it's great.
That's exciting getting stuff
in
the mail.
I mean, isn't it nice to get that in the mail?
Yeah.
Like, open it up.
Mike just got his catalog in the mail.
I did.
Happy when I get it.
It's always nice to get something in the mail like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mail's exciting. Yeah. I'm excited by mail when I know something's coming.
Oh, I bet you have a renewed excitement because John has been shopping eBay for cameras.
Yeah, I bought three cameras.
I bet you're really excited because it comes in the mail.
Yeah, it comes in the mail in a package.
So really quick, let me just get a few things here out of the way.
Yeah. How about let me get some of your Tim Tams out of the way.
There you go.
See, I can't stop.
Ooh,
it's really going to spoil your appetite.
It's really a problem. You know what? I am not a cookie person or a sweets person at all. Like, I don't really eat the stuff, but when these things are around, I cannot fucking contain myself.
Well, I think a lot of people are excited about VHS, so I'll just launch into it right now.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I am astonished and...
bewildered?
Bewildered. There's a new generation of fandom going on.
We're not even around when VHS was...
Yeah, I mean,
it's
John...
It's like the vinyl thing.
It's a little mind-numbing for me, because John and I, throughout Williams as well... Mm-hmm. The 2000s, we were making all those seduction cinema movies and had a solid fan base. And all those folks are in their mid-30s now.
Wow.
And they've jettisoned all their releases. I see on eBay, like,
hey, I just got married and wife said that has to go. And it's
like, right. Like a whole Misty Monday library of films.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
They have to go.
So now, there's like a whole new generation of people, and pets, I guess.
That's my dog watches.
Who like are discovering like, and they think like the VHS releases were like
badass. Yeah.
And I think that's really amazing because it was a dead format, and just like 8 years ago, like we couldn't get rid of this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's like no one wanted it, no one wanted to talk about it. And this company, Pop Cinema and Alternative Cinema, was without a doubt
celebrating it.
Without a doubt. Hey. Without a doubt, if not the last indie studio, the last studio to release VHS nationally up until the last moment, because most labels discontinued VHS 2003, 2004. We kept it to the last minute. That's exciting.
That's right, yeah.
Most people don't give it much of a thought. When DVD came out, everyone was like, oh, so glad to get rid of that shitty format.
Well, it's weird. You know, a lot of people didn't embrace CD technology when it came out.
Did not?
Did not. I know a lot of people are like, I don't want the CD.
Mickey Music and Belleville would not carry CDs, yeah, and like 2 years later, out of business.
But people really did embrace DVD over VHS.
VHS, it was introduced in 1976. VHS history, according to Michael Rosso, that's me. Welcome to Chapter 1, 1977.
Uncle Mike, tell me a story.
Well, thank you, John. In 1976, apparently the format was invented.
Eureka!
Thank you, John. I was living in Lyndhurst, New Jersey with my family. I was 13 years old in 77. We had no cable TV. We had Wameco Home Theater, which was a dish on your roof.
It was a satellite?
No, it's an antenna that tunes into Channel 68 UHF.
Oh, really?
And after a certain hour, they would throw a scrambled signal to Channel 68. And you had an encoder that broke it.
Really?
So you could hear the audio, but the picture was scrambled.
Ugh.
They played nudie movies at night.
Oh, my goodness.
Like West German sex comedies.
Right. In 1976?
Yeah, it's the first time I saw it. It's called Get Out Your Handkerchiefs.
Wow. See, that is indelibly marked on your brain.
That burned into
I looked it up. Yeah. It exists. Yeah. So like wow. It's like either a French or West German softcore sex
find
movie.
You gotta release it just for that reason.
Just because it brings a tear to your eye.
So, and I was an amazing horror fan. You know, I would run home. Run. As a matter of fact, I took a lunch break from Sacred Heart. Sorry. I would run home. I would take a lunch break at Sacred Heart School.
Okay.
Run home and go watch horror movies.
Run home to see if the new Famous Monsters arrives.
Oh, wow.
See, male anticipation.
The male.
M-A-I-L.
It's exciting.
Yeah, got it. And my mom would put it on my desk. It'd be a yellow folder.
Oh, wow.
And it'd be like, you know. Like, oh! Yeah, it would glow. So I would scour the TV guide for anything horror related on the 13 channels that existed.
Right.
The idea of recording like a VCR, first of all, didn't exist in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Until Uncle Mike started hipping us to it.
Oh, Uncle Mike first got you.
Uncle Mike had a Betamax in 76.
Betamax, whoa.
Yeah, Betamax. That predated VHS.
You know what I did? I used to bring my little crappy Radio Shack cassette recorder and just record audio.
That's what Tracky did.
That's what I did.
Yeah, lots of kids did that.
And listen to them at night.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
It's crazy, right?
The assassination
game. We were so unfortunate when I was little.
Times sure have changed.
It was such a pain in the ass to like satisfy your Joneses,
yeah,
your media Joneses.
Absolutely.
So in 1977, RCA released their Selectivision, and they did a huge campaign. It was a whole print campaign, and they did some commercials.
Huge.
You're watching television. I'm watching Selectivision. Television shows you what it wants. Selectivision shows me what I want and when. I've recorded my favorites: the best action, drama, sports, the best. Selectivision is the four-hour video cassette recorder from RCA. Nothing you want to watch on television? There's always something good on Selectivision.
Let RCA turn your television into Selectivision.
It's about the size of that coffee table. It was a top loader, and the buttons were all clunky, like clunk, clunk.
They were like big tape recorder buttons.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Press in, and then the tape would feed in.
Clunk, clunk.
And so one day in 1977, I came home after school, and there's Uncle Mike. So apparently, my dad was like,
"Hey, Rose, we're going to be getting one of those VCRs. Mike's bringing it by. It fell off a truck."
I never knew what that meant.
Yeah, now you know what it is.
John, I kid you not, it is Mirror Image Sopranos. You remember the early episodes?
Hey, Tone, I got a truckload of DVD players out there.
Remember that whole episode?
Yeah.
Somebody should tell Paramount Pictures to get their shit together. We're going to be stealing thousands more of these things.
Like, DVD, brand new. Apparently, something happened with a truck, and my Uncle Mike got a hold of a VCR.
Nice.
That's why he had a Betamax, I'm sure.
It cost us $500 in 1977.
Whoa!
But originally, that would have been like
probably $1,200
to $1,500. That's what you paid when it fell off the boat.
So it was like a $1,200 VCR.
Yeah, at least.
Holy smokies!
Those
are $76.
Think about this. Nothing to rent. This is only just to tape crap off your TV or
nothing to rent.
Watch
77
stuff that
watch tape
the
crappy
porn
shows because
make
the signals were probably still antenna at that time. It was. Did you have cable? No, you just had Wameco.
I just had Wameco. No, cable was not in our area till 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just antenna, and you were at the whim of sunspots and weather.
So all these great shows that I wasn't allowed to watch because they're on at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, 1932 version, Twilight Zone airing midnight.
Yeah, Godzilla movies sometimes run late at night.
I was able to tape them.
Yeah.
But little did I know, of course, that the sound of the VCR going on would wake up the whole house.
Oh, is that right?
You're like, clunk, clunk.
And your mother's like, there's someone out there.
So little known fact, the average household, this is fact according to me.
Okay.
Little known fact, the average household didn't have a VCR till 1984.
Wow, so you were 10 years ahead of the curve practically.
Not 10 years.
Well, 76,
you most
said.
People think of VCRs, they forget how late it was really introduced, VCRs.
Mm-hmm. And en masse.
Yeah.
Like, when did video stores start popping up?
85. Well, yes,
really?
84.
Wow.
Because in 82, I had to go to Willowbrook Mall to buy Pink Floyd of Pompeii for $60.
That's insane.
Yeah. And
it's
it was
like
only
$200.
One shack. It wasn't even a store. It was a kiosk in Willowbrook Mall on the top floor. Mm. And the guy had like a list of pre-records.
Mm-hmm.
And the list was not very long. Mm-mm. And everything was $60.
So these were bootlegs?
No.
Or original?
Original pre-records.
What does that mean, pre-records?
That means actual package.
Oh, okay. In a clamshell back then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
1977 VCR. I didn't know too much about it. And my dad, you know, the only room there was in the house was in our room, my brother, the room I share with my brother,
mm-hmm.
he installed it in our room.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't even explain it to kids in school because they didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
To get tapes to record on, there was no store. You had to either go to Sam Goody in Paramus or Sam Goody on 33rd Street.
There's probably not a large selection of VHS tapes at that. What was the brand you'd buy?
TDK. And they'd have 30 loads, 60 loads, or 120.
Mm. And how much were they?
$30.
A piece?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Just a tape, crappy TV.
Wow.
It's insane.
Modes were SP or LP.
Right.
No SP yet.
$30 in the 70s?
Yeah.
I think, you know, like in 1979, I think I got an allowance of $1 a week if I was lucky.
Yeah. I had a paper out. And I didn't record things over. I recorded and kept it. Sadly, my entire recorded library I sold on eBay in 95.
Oh, dear.
Stoops. I mean, I had
a lot
great
of Uncle Floyd shows.
Uncle Floyd shows, commercials, like the Jordache commercial that used to be on SNL in the 70s.
They're
you
probably
got the
all
look
up there.
You got the look. You got the look. I want to know better. You got the look. Look in. It's like a whole Studio 54 thing.
Yeah.
You got the look. I want to know better. You got the look. It's all together. Working.
At Bullocks.
So that's it, folks.
They're probably all up on YouTube.
That was the year 1977. That was the year 1977. VCR installed.
Wow.
Next episode. Next show.
Next
the
show.
The year was 1978.
Mm. Oh. And?
Next show.
Oh, okay. No all teaser.
Right. Now, listen, if you... No teaser.
Okay.
If anyone is interested in this segment, then please send an email, podcast@alternativecinema.com, because I, you know.
If no one's listening, you don't want to talk.
Exactly. Really quick, here's some upcoming releases from
how
AC.
How about people send in their memories, too, if
they
have any experiences like yours?
Great idea.
Absolutely.
Great idea. If you have a memory, a VHS memory, or if you don't ask... Hit your dad up for memory, you know.
Well, your dad's still quite into VHS, isn't he?
My dad needs to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
He recorded Walking Dead for you on VHS, right?
I watched Walking Dead and the newest season of Mad Men on VHS.
How is the image?
Terrible. Well, no, the SP mode.
He does it in SP mode?
My dad struggles with recording on SP. Like, I just can't get him to record on SP.
Why not?
Economics. Like, he's so... Anyone that's older than me, any parent or grandparent...
They're cheap. They don't understand
the
difference in quality.
Want to cram.
It doesn't really matter. They're used to garbage.
Yeah.
So it all looks the same.
Then they made those 8-hour tapes. They were 160.
Yeah.
And they've on
they used to put movies on those.
An EP of 8 hours.
And the audio
would
be terrible.
Like this?
Yeah, it's horrible.
The audio... would be terrible.
It's like,
yeah.
Crazy.
He gave me two tapes with three episodes of Mad Men, the 2-hour season premiere, and then another tape with two episodes, SP. Then, like, he couldn't help himself. Third tape.
Well, you know, the third tape I recorded on SLP.
I'm like, why?
Well, you know, I could fit more on the tape.
So I pop it in the VCR and can't adjust the tracking.
It doesn't want to.
Does not want to adjust tracking. Yeah. It'll work
That's what
on,
I don't like about VHS.
It'll work on the machine he recorded it on.
Oh, I see.
But it doesn't work on any other machine.
So there's like a big bend in the middle of the frame?
No, it's just
a lot of hash.
Hash.
Hash? Is that what they call it?
Shash.
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 Yeah, just shush. So real quick, here, I want to run down because I've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Upcoming releases this fall. The newest films from the insane mind of Eamon Hardiman. Is he insane, Aaron?
She's thinking. A little crazy.
Eamon, are you insane? I don't know. When you write a letter, gosh darn it.
Yeah, gee willikers.
Yeah, what? Eamon Hardiman from his insane mind. Pork Chop. Wait a minute. Oh, I see. Pork Chop, starring Aaron Russ, comes. Pork Chop 2, Rise of the Rind.
Huh?
Rise of the Rind.
Okay.
Pork Chop 2, Rise of the Rind.
And
Zombie Babies.
Zombie Babies.
Yeah.
We're releasing in the fall, Climate Tarzan, an outrageous homage to nudie cutie cinema with an all-female cast, written and produced by Los Angeles filmmaker Jared Masters, with production design by Adam Trash.
Yay, Adam Trash. No all right. I've been hearing about this.
Later in the year, Snow Shark, the Roger Corman inspired. I'll do that again so you can say, ooh. Snow Shark.
Ooh.
The Roger Corman inspired micro budget film from Sam Qualiana, star of Pork Chop 2, Rise of the Rind.
Wow. Holy crap.
Sam, are you in that?
He did Snow Shark?
Yes, I don't know. I'm confused.
I'm confused, too, because what Snow Shark.
It's produced by award-winning author and filmmaker Greg Lamberson of Slime City fame. Hey, don't forget about some upcoming releases like soonish. Like, how about this? The thrilling paranormal possession ghost story documenting the Gray Man, which we call an alien film on the previous podcast.
That's incorrect, sir.
Yeah. It comes out next month. The refreshing new take on zombie genre, Ground Zero, in August. And the Inga Collection, three films by erotic auteur Joseph Sarno, featuring Inga, Seduction of Inga, and The Indelicate Balance, also coming in August. These are some upcoming events. I guess this is somewhat news. Disco Exorcist screening Friday, June 15th, 2012. At 11 p.m.
Yeah, where?
Hold on, John. We don't have to be so angry about it.
All right, I'm just curious.
This is the Seoul NYC screening of Richard Griffin's film Disco Exorcist, organized by Wild Eye Cinema at the Cinema Village Theater, 22 East 12th Street, New York, New York.
What are the cross streets?
That's cool. This is at Cinema Village?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Additional information, type in Disco Exorcist on Facebook and click through to the events page.
Last seen on Dolores Street.
Who?
Oh.
Last seen on Dolores Street.
The amazing noir short by D.V. Snively, director of the indie hit Trippin'.
Trippin'.
Released by Camp Mo Pix.
Camp Mo?
So it says Camp Mo Pix.
Camp Motion. Wait, no.
Yeah, that was released. Hey, listen, you need to go on alternativecinema.com and buy some Trippin', man.
Yeah, right?
This will screen at Vision Fest at Tribeca Cinema Friday, June 22nd at 9:45.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because you have to figure out like, hey, man, oh, I see. No, the Disco Exorcist is June 19th.
15th, I thought you said.
Last scene on Dolores Street. Last street on Dolores scene on June
22nd. What?
Last scene on...
Last scene on Dolores Street is your brain.
June 22nd. You can get info on that at visionfest.com. Hey, man, the Macabre Fair Film Festival.
That sounds fun.
An amazing 3-day movie and fan expo
at
the Best Western Mill River Manor at Rockville Center, New York.
Oh, Rockville, New York.
Yeah. June 22nd through 24th.
Yeah, what can playing? We see up there?
Well, Alternative Cinema will be meeting fans and promoting new and upcoming releases. For additional information, John, you have the computer.
Yeah.
LivingDeadMafia.com.
Living Dead Mafia, really?
LivingDeadMafia.com.
You're watching television.
We're watching Selectivision.
The 4-hour video cassette recorder from RCA.
Selectivision gives us the best of television. We've recorded the best action.
The best movies.
Even the best educational shows. sometimes there's nothing good for them on television.
But there's always something good on Selectivision.
Let RCA turn your television into Selectivision.
Hey, we're back. We took a quick break while Aaron Russ was peeing.
Want to talk about this film fair?
Is bathroom clean?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I worry about it.
It was clean too.
Good, good. Okay, the Museum of Arts and Design VHS program. This is the VHS show.
Wow, you scared me.
You know what's going to happen?
God damn it.
It's like I completely blocked VHS out of my mind. Years ago, when I used to do Chiller Theater, we used to hump a cart. We used to sell VHS tapes.
Oh, here, I got some of the movies. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
What are they screening?
At the Macabre Fair Film Festival. Go ahead.
Bane, a chemical burn film. Blood Lodge by Kevin Oroz. Gallery of Fear. Hallows Eve. Horror of Our Love.
Horror.
Jack the Reaper. Mold, the movie.
The Reaper.
Monster Brawl. Pembroke, My Undeadly. Purification, Schism, Sloppy the Psychotic, The Dead Father, The Mechanical Grave, Telltale Heart, Short, The Fifth Dimension, The Orphan Killer, The Secret,
The Fifth Dimension,
and This Mortal Coil.
Let the sun shine. The Fifth Dimension is going to be there?
Yeah, what's left of them. Who's alive in that band?
The Museum of Arts and Design VHS program. This VHS, incredible. What's going to be next, William? We're going to be releasing VHS at AC?
I think so.
Why not?
Hey, you
still
have...
Basement.
Wait a second. You still have tons of VHS, don't you?
There's a whole pallet full of VHS. What should we do?
Hear that, everybody?
I heard it.
A whole pallet full of VHS.
We have a pallet of VHS. And Chris LaMartina raided the old warehouse. Like, he found stuff that we only had ones of. Like all those really odd Todd Cheat movies.
Yeah. Oh, did he take them?
Yeah, I gave it to him.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
You could have put those up on
Give them back.
A
3-month survey of short-lived video revolution organized by Jake Yunza. He's the manager of public programs with Matthew from Horror Boobs and Rebecca Clayman. It starts Friday, June 8th at 7 p.m. with a screening of the H.G. Lewis film Something Weird.
Whoa.
So basically this is a museum set up, you know, honoring VHS, and you can find the info at madmuseum.org. This is a can't-miss event for fans of VHS, and they transform one of their rooms into a video store.
That's so cool.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
cool.
We should go.
And then they're going to be doing rentals for that month.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, they're actually going to be doing rentals for that month.
Bring them back the old...
Yeah.
Meet Jacob Ennis, director of Stash and Red River, when he mans AC's table at one of the one and only Fright Night Film Festival, June 29th to July 1st. In Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow, in Louisville.
June 29th to July 1st.
Is that right? Wow, holy shit.
In Louisville, Kentucky. For more information, go to FrightNightFilmFest.com. Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe Rodan will go.
Continuing the Retro 80s program at the Spectacle Theater in Williamsburg, New York. That's Brooklyn.
Video violence screening.
Whoa.
Midnight, June 30th. Get info at spectacletheater.com.
Get your t-shirts.
You got to wear your video violence t-shirt to the screening.
Oh, you need a video violence t-shirt. Get your video violence t-shirt. AlternativeCinema.com. This is a must-have item. It's cheap. It's like $12.
Small, medium.
Large,
extra large,
extra large, extra extra large.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You could fit like 3 people in the...
Hey man, you guys back off.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
isn't that
off.
Like officially a tent?
extra,
extra, extra large?
John, listen, John. John's skinny and like a piece of gum.
Yeah.
Like a piece of gum.
SpectacleTheater.com. 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 This just Oh, I read this already. Okay, I'm done.
All right.
Phew. What's my surprise?
Well, the surprise, Aaron, is that we have a brand new song for the Aaron Russ News. It's a song called That Dead Girl by Pink Delicates. We'll play the full song later.
Okay.
Let's play a little bit of it right now.
Okay, the full song?
Yeah, just a little bit.
She can't feel the wind.
song by Kevin Nublung and was inspired because he found your MySpace page.
Oh no, did he request like, me and I denied him?
No, it was like that dead girl. So he wrote it based on that.
If he requested me and I denied him.
Do you still go on MySpace?
Him, oh, MySpace. Oh, I thought you said Facebook.
Is it MySpace or Facebook?
I don't.
We're going to have to get him in here.
I'm
next
on
month.
Both. What's my face? He has to face. Let me know.
My
like, right, message me.
Very awesome.
So
that's
this is
so cool. Thing.
I'm playing drums on it. If anybody cares.
Oh.
Oh.
It's just you two, though, right?
Yeah. Just Kevin did everything.
I'm so happy. That's
so great.
Cool.
So I like it because it's short and condensed. The lyrics are great, and I just discovered that shooting on infrared film, basically you shoot outside, everything green becomes white.
Whoa.
And flesh tones look ghastly. Like people look bad.
Yeah.
And eyes are just black.
So no makeup needed to look dead.
So I thought maybe we'll shoot a little music video, that dead girl,
very
for
cool.
that dead girl, Ooh. With that dead girl.
Should shoot it with your Lomo Kino.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I see.
That's awesome.
You're way ahead of me.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, that'll be fun.
That's so
we'll do it up the Ringwood Park.
Yeah, why not? That's the
where we always go.
That's the location of choice.
That's our place.
Yeah. But that's half of it. The second is our regular, for the news, this is a bumper. For we play this before the Aaron Ross news. You ready?
That dead girl.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
It's so silly that Kevin.
No, I love it.
It's great, right?
It's
yes, terrible.
That's
yeah?
me. Thank you so much. That makes me so happy.
So, without further
another
ado,
another fellow Ringwoodian.
Yes,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So, without further ado, let's do the Aaron Ross news.
So that dead girl.
That dead girl.
Okay. Well, I only have one news item, and then I have the chiller recap, and then I have a couple of plugs.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, so. Chiller recap. I have the Polaroids, and I'm going to hold them up. And
oh, good.
We'll get your like commentary. Each one will be like,
great.
Oh, this one, what do you what's cool. going on here?
Yeah, yeah, that's perfect.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Who took Polaroids?
You got
Bill.
You
did.
Shot Polaroids?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He was my fun. Photographer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you guys didn't come.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
You got to post them on show notes so everybody can see the Polaroids.
Show notes are back.
All right.
Yeah.
Show notes?
Yeah.
Huh. Great.
And all these VHS guys, not to interrupt, but it's like, how about like, you know, you guys and your digital cameras, throw them away.
Yeah.
No.
Pick up.
Hey,
just, no, send them to me. I can use them.
Listen, man.
Yeah,
listen, man. While you're raiding your grandmother's like medicine chest for a whole dope, grab her camera, too.
Oh, man. That is.
Oh, like that doesn't happen, Bill.
Oh, my God.
Not that you did it. You knew kids that did that.
Yes.
Everybody did that. That's how I found my first goofballs.
Goofballs?
Yeah.
Your grandma has like a 110 camera. Has like a, you know, 35mm point
or
and shoot.
Or instant
brownie.
Or like a Polaroid. You could buy film for that.
And if she doesn't have a Polaroid camera, I bet there are drawers full
she ain't
Polaroids
got no
of her
on.
Doing nasty
no
things.
Draws
yeah.
On.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear young people complaining. Like,
oh, I can't afford film. I have no money.
Listen, just
cheap.
Cut your habit in half.
Yeah, whatever your Coca-Cola.
Whatever it is. If you cut
video
you,
games.
Yeah.
Games.
Because
comic books.
Shooting film, you're
VHS.
Making.
Alternative cinema.
That's your. No.
No.
Because your picture is not wasteful. That's your art. Because right now I'm digging up negatives I shot in the 80s. And it's like gold, John.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And I got news for you. Your digital files, they're going to be kerplunk.
Yeah.
They're not going to last.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
No way.
Fucking way.
Okay, Aaron, I'm sorry.
Are those songs on SoundCloud?
Which
I
ones?
I don't think so.
Which
these
ones?
Two?
Oh, will you send them to me?
Which ones?
That dead girl
these
at hotmail.com.
Yeah.
They're going to be on SoundCloud.
Really? Oh, they're going to be on.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Facebook.com/thatdeadgirl, myspace.com/thatdeadgirl, and Hotmail address is thatdeadgirl.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, that's great.
What is that guy's name again?
Kevin Neblong.
Kevin.
Did you ever meet him?
I don't know if he's.
Oh, you met him.
Her.
I don't think
so
she did.
I
think
so
she
happy.
Was with me when he.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah,
sure. So it's Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Cool.
You met him at Stop and Shop.
Kevin
Neblong.
And he saw your Godzilla shirt.
Kevin Neblong.
I think so. Yeah.
Neblong.
You start talking to him. You saw his Godzilla shirt.
His wife came up.
They were together.
You won't remember.
You met him twice.
I met her first.
Don't
and
even
then
try.
A week later,
just say you're that
Kevin.
Pink delicate guy.
I'm so happy. Thank you guys.
Good. He'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah. So maybe we can have him on next month and
sure.
He'll play it live.
We'll do a
I
live
I was just thinking
set.
That you guys should do it live.
But she has to play
I'll
tambourine
dance.
And you have to play bongos.
Yeah. I'd play the yeah, that'd be fun.
And I'm just going to dance in
and
a cage.
I'll be photographing. We have the Film Photography Podcast. That's the other show I do for you folks out there. And we had Kevin came in. Mm-hmm. John was playing that thing, a vase.
The metal vase.
And Dane's like, oh, man, hey, you got a bass? I have a bass guitar that I don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing the bass. It was awesome.
It was very impromptu.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
With the dead girl.
Next thing you know, like, we'll have the band, photographs, cameras.
Mm.
Fans will be hanging out on the couch. It'll
be
like a
national tour.
It'll be like the Hugh Hefner show from the 60s.
We'll have to get a groovy, groovy van and drive around town to town.
Yeah.
Groovy Gooly van. Well, what's up, Aaron?
Solve mysteries.
Oh, okay. So my one piece of official news is that Duck, the Carbine High Massacre, is now available from Alternative Cinema.
Yay! You finally relented, Mike.
No, apparently it's been there for a while, right?
No.
No.
Oh.
Mike was
it's
like, no,
it's
no,
in the
no.
new update.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
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 No, actually, the only...
No. No. Bill, one word, no. That was two no's, but one word, no.
What year did you make that?
1999.
Oh, that was the only time I said no. And I wasn't a big no. It was only about distribution because the regular 8mm footage in the opening scene is, that was a yes. I lent it to William. That's me with the war toy.
Shooting your brother.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, probably 70s too, you can go to the store and you could buy a plastic, real-looking gun.
Yeah.
And back then, cops weren't so uptight.
Up into the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you could play cops and robbers on the street and not get shot by a
cop.
You could not get shot by a cop.
Not get shot by a cop.
Yeah, but then heroin and cocaine destroyed the crime scene and everybody was ruthless and shooting everybody and little kids are killing people. And so then cops got scared because they started getting shot a lot.
And guns became like red and really crappy
very
colors.
Very silly looking, in the 90s.
So that when we needed them for props for movies, we had to paint them black.
We had to
spray paint
them.
Oh, so I said yes to the gun footage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And which is the best part of the movie.
And I said yes. I think I used to be. I don't know if I'm in the final cut. I was like some character.
I think
movie.
You might be in it.
Am I in that too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you were in it.
So it's not that. I don't know why it never wound up in the AC catalog. It has nothing to do with me.
Well, Media Blasters only got in the last, like the first, like 2011 catalog.
Correct.
Or was it the update, the fall update?
2011 catalog. Each catalog, as the DVD market shrinks.
Mm.
We were picking up more and more all the indies, so that AC...
Oof. So Media Blasters only came into
AC
that
is one. A go-to place for all cult movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all labels.
Yeah, all labels.
But so Duck was not included.
Duck the Carbine High Massacre. Right?
So finally, it is
now. It is.
Right.
You can find Duck the Carbine High Massacre in the Alternative Cinema catalog, oddly misplaced in the drama category next to Klaus Kinski's Paganini. I knew I would flub that. Paganini.
Pagaduga.
Right now.
Pagaduga.
Doesn't make any sense.
Weird,
yeah, that doesn't
right?
belong there.
It's not a drama. There's
so
only
funny.
Two movies.
Klaus Kinski is appalled at that.
I know, there's only two.
And
it's like
Paganini.
At least we're with Klaus Kinski, though.
Oh, well, you're in good company.
I love Mr. Kinski.
Joey Smack and Klaus Kinski.
Yeah. Those two together would be trouble, huh?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Like that in a bottle of whiskey?
Who would,
be
who
like,
would shoot the other guy first? Both walk out of there with shoulder wounds. Klaus is so fucking awesome. You shot me, man.
And, William, in a few months, we're going through our catalog and starting to nationally re-release some titles.
Yeah.
Orgasm, Torture, and Satan's Rape Clinic.
That's the best title ever.
The Devil's Bloody Plaything. We're going to get like a little push.
Yes.
That's I haven't great. Seen that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
You
yet.
Have to
it's
watch
a good
it.
One.
I want to see it.
Devils is my the favorite movie of mine.
That he made.
Is it really?
It's the most straight up, honest. It's kind of a culmination of everything I learned making crappy movies.
So it's your best
Strangling
crappy
Girls.
Movie?
It's my best crappy movie. Yeah.
Well, I got to see it.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah.
I didn't make my best crappy movie yet.
So we'll have some news in a few months when that comes out.
Great. Yeah. Great. Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's exciting. What else you got, Aaron?
I have my chiller recap. The first one is...
I'm giving you three original Polaroids that we took at Mr. Lee for your collection. Great. Gonna start your home Polaroid collection.
We've been framing them, actually.
Cool.
Let me see.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, so the first person...
Yes.
...that I'm discussing is Lawrence Harvey.
Okay. Do we have a picture of him?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the one that has his head up against my breasts.
Oh, he's the guy?
Human centipede.
Look, okay, John, you got to be paying attention now.
Okay,
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's the human centipede 2 guy.
Now, if only we had the photos of what I'm going to discuss. You saw them, right? The centipede?
Yeah.
With him behind it?
That's great.
I wish John could see that. Look at you.
They formed a human centipede at Chiller. Like, everybody got together.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about it.
Yuck.
Okay, so... For me, the highlight of Chiller was meeting Lawrence Harvey.
Because you're a huge fan of those movies.
Who played Martin Lomax in the film Human Centipede 2? Martin wraps barbed wire around his dick and fucks the end of the centipede in the movie. So me and my friend Justin wanted to pretend we were a human centipede and ask Lawrence if he would pretend he was fucking us.
Okay. sure. I get a break in 10 minutes.
Lawrence happily obliged while Justin's wife took photos of us.
Oh, my goodness.
I was in the back, and Justin was in the front. I could feel Lawrence's junk hit my... I could feel Lawrence's junk hit my butt when I was about to get up, so I gave him a little smack and told him he's naughty. Bill took a Polaroid of us together, and Lawrence asked for one, so we took another one and gave it to him. If you haven't seen Human Centipede 2, buy it from Alternative Cinema.
Yes!
Yeah. Human Centipede 2 is available at alternativecinema.com. Yeah.
Sure, you have mouthwash when you watch that
movie.
The next
one is Zachary. Talk about that.
Yeah,
we don't have Zachary, but I'm going to talk about him.
Okay.
Bruce, I didn't write anything about Bruce, but
not Bruce Goldstein.
Did.
That's Bruce the Whale?
We went and saw Bruce the Shark, and that's actual prop
That's the
from
original
the movie.
Bruce the Shark from the Jaws movie?
The guy said it's from the movie.
His son collects Jaws.
Wow.
Memorabilia.
That's insane.
Jaws
props. He has the cage, and he has all the... The barrels.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was,
I love that.
That picture. Was really fun because I love Jaws, so.
That's great.
So another highlight of the night was meeting Zachary Lee, the cool ghoul.
I can't believe that guy's still alive.
Yeah. John. No, our friend Justin actually
he's pretty old. You're not supposed to mention people's old ages.
I'm sorry. But it's a tribute to him, his longevity.
Our friend actually cracked a joke about how, this was probably the last time you got to meet him. We were like,
Justin. I wouldn't go that far.
Justin.
Yeah, you would. John, you said it all the time about Joe Sarno.
Jaw dropped.
Well, Joe.
Yeah, now he's
not
dead.
Zachary.
Zachary's
old. It's just
old.
A matter of time. I could say that about you, and in 20 years
wait,
it'll be true.
Just wait till your kids are 16 and they're cracking jokes about you in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Dad, I'll see you later if you're still around.
Yeah, I'll be like, yeah, fuck you.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, well, your mom. Oh, wait.
Okay,
so when I met Zachary, he held my hand. For the photo, he didn't hold the other girl's hands. So one of them actually said, he really liked holding your hand.
He knows a dead girl when he sees one.
Yeah. Well, me and Zachary walked past each other at a previous Chiller when I was a magician's assistant. Bill was the magician. And we were just walking past each other, and he looked at me. He's like,
hello, my dear.
So again, he said, hello, my dear. Ooh. So that was cool.
Yeah, he likes it.
I doubt he remembered me, but it was still very cool. We visited Seduction Cinema actress Darian Kane's table to say hello and take a Polaroid with her.
Yeah, got to see Darian. Super cool. Yeah.
I haven't seen her in so long.
We met up with filmmaker Victor Bonacore. Okay, so we met up with filmmaker Victor Bonacore. Whose film production company Chainsaw Kiss recently made two music videos that are now available to watch on YouTube. One of the music videos is for a song called Robo Tripping Through the Gates of Hell by Johnny Lee Jordan, and it features Tina Kraus, Serena DiStefano, and Catherine Papamanosakis. How do you say that, Mike?
Catherine, help us.
It's like a Christine Christopoulopoulos.
Papamanosakis. She must hate hearing people trying to pronounce her last name. Anyway, I got to meet Serena and Catherine at Chiller. They are lovely ladies who have also modeled for Mike.
Yes.
So there's actually a photo of us three girls.
Right there, John.
Bill took.
Whoa. Wow. That's a lot of...
girl.
A whole lot of woman.
The other Chainsaw Kiss music video is for a song called Chucker Bombed by Sexcrement. Chucker Bombed features Linnea Quigley with a special guest appearance by Jim Van Bever.
Yeah.
We also met up with filmmaker, musician Jimmy Screamer Claus, a chiller, and he gave us Where the Dead Go to Die on VHS.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I know who that is. I'm sorry.
He's in the...
Wait, here's another. Is that Victor too?
Yep.
Okay.
So is Victor?
Where did that one?
No. Who the hell is that guy?
Oh, here's Darian, looking lovely as ever.
Look at that.
She looks like so tiny next to me. I'm like boobs jutted out.
Darian is very tiny.
She looks great.
She's a little thing. So Jimmy bought Disney movies in VHS big boxes.
I found you and Zachary.
That's the wax museum. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's blasphemy.
Okay.
Interrupted.
There's a picture of us on Facebook. Zachary, actually. Shot on digital. Okay, Jimmy bought Disney movies in VHS big boxes, or would that be clamshells? At a thrift store and used them to package his VHS tapes. Jimmy has a vinyl record coming out on June 5th. It's called Screamer Claus Maggot Baby Picture Disc, and it features four tracks of Furious Industrial Hardcore Depraved Cannibal Horrors and Insanity of Speedcore at 360 beats a minute. It's limited to 50 copies on a disgusting 12-inch horrifying picture disc, so buy it before it's sold out.
Wow, 50
really?
Copies.
Really vinyl?
50 copies of vinyl. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Can I get one?
If you buy it.
Yeah.
How much?
$500. I'm not sure, but... Okay. It's going to be out on June 5th. So,
that's awesome.
And I'm going to tell you the website.
So. That's
so cool.
He also has a CD coming out on July 10th called Screamer Claus Planetary Evacuation Recruitment Tape. And it features 15 uncompromising speedcore beats and shrieks recorded in an underground inferno sampling the sounds of hell. Prepare to leave Earth behind. You can purchase Where the Dead Go to Die, Maggot Baby Picture Disc, and Planetary Evacuation Recruitment Tape at unearthedfilms.com.
Holy shit.
Here's a sample of Screamer Claus's music.
What you are about to learn might save your life.
Wow, it's crazy.
That's it?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Jimmy and Victor started up a home video label,
ooh,
which will release weird shit that's never been out before on limited VHS and DVD.
Good.
Some of the titles they are releasing are Limbo, a movie that was written and directed by Tina Kraus in 1999.
No.
What?
Yes.
Who knew?
That's actually coming out.
Yes.
Wow.
Now it's a classic.
Might have done it.
Now it's a classic, and it has not yet been out either. That's so right. That's pretty crazy.
Mm.
And it's coming out.
Got to get me
it's
a hold of
it.
On VHS.
Don't know the date,
on VHS.
The way it was intended to come out.
Yeah, it's already designed, the cover art and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Y'all got to get a copy of that.
Also, another title, or a couple titles, are the early Jim VanBubber Super 8 short films and the animated feature film We Are the Strange. For more information, look up Mountain Oddities on Facebook. Victor is also putting together a few benefit shows to raise money for Jim's new film, Gator Green. One of those fundraisers will be held at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, New York on July 3rd, where they'll be screening a rare 35mm print of Jim's film, The Manson Family.
Whoa.
As well as his short film, My Sweet Satan.
Nice.
So, speaking of Screamer Claws, I have a very exciting announcement to make.
Really?
Yes. Bill and I are going to be in his next feature film, When Blackbirds Fly.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
A podcast listener recently asked if I had done any voiceover work, so I'm happy to announce that this will be my first job as a voiceover actress.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
Your dad will be so proud.
Yay. Yeah. There's no way I can show it to him, though.
Oh, really?
His movies are crazy. Paige said that they disturb her. What was the other word?
Her cats.
They disturb her cats.
Her cats are like, no.
She said she finds them terrifying and disturbing. So, my dad won't be into it. But so
I'm, you just play him.
Just
your...
being able to tell him that I'm going to do voiceover work will be.
Yeah.
Very nice. My brother was happy for me. But anyway.
That's good for you.
The last time, thank you. The last time we worked with Jimmy was in 2009 when he directed us in his movie Dog Shit, a.k.a. The Bunny Man. So he's saying that he might, it was supposed to be a feature, but he's saying he might edit that into a short.
Because
There's still more to be done with it. So he might just edit it down to a short, and it'll be on the DVD of When Blackbirds Fly.
As an extra.
That's eventually released. Yeah, as an extra.
That'll
so.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So we also hung out with Colin Rogers at Chiller. Colin gave Bill the original drawing of Hugo Stiglitz
that he
drew for last month's Alternative Cinema
Remember
podcast.
That,
Hugo is now on the wall at Alternative Cinema.
That's right.
And is That's also now about. On the wall at the Hellfire Abode with the rest of nine. So, yeah.
Yay.
We want to see Hugo Stiglitz at an upcoming Chiller show.
We hope That'd to see him so soon. Cool. Yes, we will have to find
so
him.
So, are you going to like send an email to the Facebook Chiller page?
We'll do that, but we gotta find Hugo Stiglitz. We gotta make sure he's alive.
Mm.
We gotta go to Mexico. That's where the next podcast is gonna
be
held from
let's
Mexico.
Go to Mexico guys.
We are looking for Hugo Stiglitz.
He's in Mexico?
Yeah, somewhere in Mexico.
We don't know that.
He's got to be. He's like drinking in some little bar. He's hiding
out. Tequila or Tijuana.
He's hunting the Tintorera.
Yeah.
Cock blocking shark from our last podcast.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Colin is a very...
You and your magic cube, not so magic.
I was just going to say Colin's a very talented artist and a very cool guy, so you could check out his artwork at jalonight.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Polaroid of this, too.
Polaroid.
Me and the girl from Live Fast. It's I'm holding up a Frankenstein's monster tank top.
You mixed
top.
Them. I told you the ones
man.
That are already, already used.
The one I'll
right
be
there.
Showing later. That. Live Fast, okay. We visited Live Fast table where I purchased tank tops and t-shirts at every Chiller convention. I was actually wearing one of their shirts at the last podcast. It had Frankenstein's monster on it.
Yes.
Anyway, they have very cool clothes.
These are good.
Tank tops. They're all horror themed. So,
cool.
Check them out at livefastnyc.com. Wow. They have a store in New York. So.
Super duper.
Yay.
And we have this picture of me and Daniela.
Woo!
We visited Little Punk People's Table. That's Daniela and Justin
things,
Films.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys love those.
Yeah. They're the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a t-shirt.
Yeah, Justin was selling a cool new t-shirt he designed. It's called Waiting to Speak. And you can buy it at littlepunkpeople.net. Justin has his own one-man musical project called Hawkins. You can buy his digital album, Songs to Help You Sleep, for only $3.99 at hawkins.bandcamp.com, or you can get the digital album with a limited edition print by Daniela Fulham for $20 at littlepunkpeople.com. Justin is recording some new Hawkins songs right now, so stay tuned for those. This is my favorite Hawkins song. It's called It Can't Rain All the Time.
tripping.
That's Robo's tripping, RoboCop tripping through the gates of hell.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Ah, fuck you.
That's Victor's new music video.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Bought a root beer to keep it fizzing. Got some bounce checks and blurry vision. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell.
I know Victor Bonacore.
Victor Bonacore.
And I have to tell you, I really feel he's finding, I see he's finding his style.
He's honing himself in.
Yeah, well, I see a Victor Bonacore style. Congratulations, Victor Bonacore.
All right.
That's a major step for any filmmaker or musician or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so that's the end of my chiller recap.
Yay.
I want to plug a couple more things, though.
Okay.
Just a couple
no
more things.
No electric companies, right?
No electric companies.
No.
Okay. No. John, don't you remember last show?
What show?
Remember you said that he should use the money to buy a new web address? So it was like Doc
he's
Index.
He's pushing electricity.
Dot Index. No. Yeah, he wanted me to plug electricity for him.
Johnny Jumpkick.
Oh,
ladies
right,
and gentlemen,
right,
Johnny
right,
Jumpkick.
Right,
none
right.
of your neighbors have combined and asked you to switch electric companies?
We're back here. In the mail all the time.
We're back in the electric companies.
I get letters in the mail. They offer me $50 Target cards and 15% off my electric.
Do you remember Spider-Man on the electric company?
This is ridiculous.
Do you remember the electric company?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had Spider-Man would come on and he'd have the think bubble and you have to read what he had to say like in a comic book.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I love Spider-Man on the electric company.
And wasn't there, who was the Black Dracula on electric company? Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Was Dracula
on
the electric company. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. Morgan, if you're out there, you want
to... Yeah, he listens to AC5.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to do some a Dracula movie, come hang out with us because we'll do it.
We will totally hook you up, man.
Yeah.
What else
yeah.
you got to plug, Aaron?
Okay. I want to mention Save the Chapel again, which we've talked about in previous podcasts.
Yep.
We previously told everyone the URL of the Facebook group, but to make it easier, I want to give everyone the URL of the official website.
Okay.
Because I didn't know about the official website. I just knew about the Facebook
group.
This
is to Save the Chapel from the
Save
Night
the
of
Chapel.
Dead.
Because the zombies are knocking it down.
See, I remember this one.
Look, yeah. John, good on you.
Okay, thank you.
I can't remember stuff.
Okay, so okay, so the URL is fixthechapel.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, fixthechapel.com is the grassroots effort of Night of the Living Dead fans to restore and preserve the chapel in Evans City Cemetery, a cinematic landmark from the George A. Romero classic horror film originally released in 1968. Please help out and donate some money to this great cause. Even if you can only donate $5 or $10, it's something. Every little bit counts. If you're a fan of horror like us, it's a great way to show your appreciation of the film and the genre.
Did you give, Mike? I know you're a huge fan of that movie. That was a very influential movie.
No?
Did you give, Aaron?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Mike?
We also gave to Jim Van
Was it an
Van
influential
Bummer.
Movie in you becoming a filmmaker and doing what you do today?
Night of the Living Dead and Jack's Wife.
Then get up off
you
your
can
ass.
You just donate $5
amazing.
Even.
Throw some
really,
money
you like,
away.
You like the Season of the Witch?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They're coming to get you, Bob.
Season of the Witch, yeah. I you're really ignorant. Like George Romero's directing style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, throw the guy a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Keep
the chapel.
Chapel
alive yeah. there.
I would also like to tell everyone that you should listen to Justin Channel and Zane Crosby's weekly comedy podcast.
Justin.
Hodge Podcast.
Hodge.
Justin's a really funny guy, so be sure to check out his podcast at hodgepodcast.com.
Yeah.
And I told
Hodge
him
podcast.
I told him he should mention our podcast
yeah,
on
how
his
about it,
podcast.
Justin?
He said he will.
Sure he
Justin
would.
Shoots 110 film.
Oh, nice, Justin.
Yeah, so he shoots 35 millimeter.
Does he have the Minolta?
He has the Pentax Auto 110, the little SLR.
Mm.
Stolen. Got stolen.
Oh.
The yeah. Hodge Podcast.
I slept over at his house with Victor and Jimmy.
When?
2010, like really? January, because the Pork Chop premiere was in West Virginia.
Wow.
He was working at the movie theater, so we stayed at his place. He has since moved, but his place was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So.
Dirty.
No,
it was clean and it was very cool. It was very retro.
Yeah, he has a retro.
Hey,
place.
Justin, that's really cool.
Paneling on the walls.
Listen to what my mom always said. People talk. So if you have like a filthy place, you know, dirty, filthy people are going to talk.
Invite people over.
Like I asked Aaron before. I'm like, the AC, you know, the podcast studio. I'm like,
Is
the toilet clean? It's like, oh yes. Because otherwise, she'd leave it in the car. She'd be like, the toilet was filthy.
She doesn't talk like that, does she?
Everyone talks that way.
Our toilet is filthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we know.
It's the original Severed Lips Recordings toilet.
Okay.
It has character.
Yeah, it has a lot of character.
What else?
Get these things away
I just
from
have
you.
One more thing.
Okay.
So you're going to make the toilet filthy.
I know how I'm trying.
Yeah,
John's going to make the toilet filthy.
Well, yuck.
Every podcast, we end up talking about some kind of
poop-casting. Yeah, there it goes.
Casting.
There it goes.
Well, we should have a new
we need bumpers for that.
Yeah, you need a song for that.
Fecal Matters. Drop a sprog.
Today in Fecal Matters.
Okay, so last but not least.
Yes. You've had it. I've had it. We've all had it. Let's talk about the funny runny stuff.
Funny runny.
Yes, Aaron. John, shut up.
Last but not least, I wanted to tell everyone about the band Black Wine. Our friend Miranda is the drummer of this alternative band. She also sings some of the songs, and since I am partial to those, I brought her song Spit to See the Shame. Black Wine has several albums that you can purchase at blackwine.bandcamp.com, and they're going on tour this summer, so check out their Facebook page to see if they're playing near you.
The Brendan Byrne Arena REO Speedwagon with Black Wine.
Nice. I bet they'd love that.
It'd be April Wine.
This is Scott Muni, Ookie Dookie Doo. When we come back, we'll have some biscuits and Yoko Ono, so stay tuned.
Hey, cool story about Miranda. She used to be in the band The Hunchback, who have a song called Black Sunday, which we'll bring
at a
different podcast. It's really amazing. But they actually wrote a Devil's Bloody Playthings song because they love
Right?
Is it the movie.
Is it in the...
They're some of my biggest fans. Yeah, they love Devil's Bloody Playthings. So they wrote a song and they never recorded it, though the band broke up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but...
The song doesn't exist in the movie?
I don't know. I think Mike Hunchback may have a copy of it somewhere. I'll have to bother him for it. But I want to play... We'll next podcast, we'll play that.
Cool.
Hey, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Williams, what do you got?
I got some stuff. You know, Paige gave me a DVD, and she said, you know, first I want to say I'm sorry. Everybody who sent DVDs and stuff to the show in the last couple of months, we're going to get to them.
Yep.
Don't worry. Next show, I'll get to all that stuff.
What show?
But next podcast. But with this show, what I have here is Paige did give me one DVD, and she asked me to take a look at it. And the Russ and I actually watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
what was
we
it?
Did.
And it's John Dickey's Slaughter Tales, which I think you will all soon be hearing about.
An anthology movie?
It is an anthology. I rarely watch low-budget camcorder movies anymore. And when I do, I usually just scan through after getting the general idea. With this screener of Slaughter Tales, I found myself belly laughing, grossed out, and surprisingly engaged by this new anthology, written, lensed, directed, scored, and starring John Dickey, a VHS horror enthusiast who compiled the film from footage he shot with his friends and parents over 2 years, starting at age 13.
Fantastic.
It's crazy. I think the greatest appeal.
I wasn't even able to, like, you know, like my own butt.
Yeah, I was very I was not focused. I think I was boxing a blow up Godzilla at age 13.
throwing rocks at the neighbor's house.
I was throwing eggs at the neighbor's house, yeah. Actually. I got caught.
Oh, you're advanced.
I think the greatest appeal of Dickie's feature length shot on video is going to be for all those out there who have produced some sort of horror film on camcorder, whether commercial or not, and all those who have enjoyed them, and there are a lot of them. Being able to see the creative process of a 13-year-old horror fan will bring them all back to the days when they were running around their kitchen, bathroom, or backyard with a camcorder making ridiculous nonsense gore films with Karo syrup, latex, and clay. The thin plot, stringing all the violence together, has John shoplifting a VHS tape from a flea market and then watching the cruddy anthology tape at home. He's visited by Fulci-like zombies who appear in his bathtub, warning him not to watch the tape, but of course goes on anyway to the deadly end. There are five scenes of madness introduced by two faux trailers. Adolescent absurdity that ensues. Loading a plastic shotgun with a handful of nails instead of bullets and shooting them at a demon monster with a knight's helmet. Momentarily dispatching said knight by impaling the back of his head on an ordinary light switch. Genius. It's so good.
Yeah, he's like the little...
A character cuts off both his own hands.
How do you manage that?
Yeah.
Another hand appears, but it's really very funny. You got to see it.
Another hand just appears.
It's just all, he's trying with one hand like to get the knife, and then all of a sudden this other hand just cuts. This other hand comes.
Is there blood?
Oh yeah, there's blood, and like he makes it. Mm-hmm. It looks like out of clay and latex, and okay. I mean it's hilarious. And some of it looks amazing.
Funny.
A demon threatening to impregnate one of the characters with his demon seed, and then being told, "But I'm a boy." Hilarious dialogue only a kid could come up with. Lone characters thinking out loud, explaining the action to come, like, "I gotta get a drink of water. I'm thirsty as hell."
That was a good burrito.
That was a good burrito. That's a good one. A constant barrage of F-bombs highlighted by a 14-year-old Dickie attempting to call a phone sex line and accidentally telling the operator he'll use his mom's credit card. Sure, this is completely amateur and seemingly filmed within the microcosm of his basement, bedroom, kitchen, and backyard, minus the introductory jaunt into town. But it also showcases some adept stop motion, no budget gore effects, and creative camera work. Shots looking up from inside the sink drain, action shots of bodies falling to the floor as the camera stays fixed on them, hands being severed, faces being ripped off, and animated clay slug creatures burrowing into pizza boxes, to name a few. The best of all is John Dickie is not delusional about his film. He knows it's silly amateur romp, and it's intended to be as bad as the shot-on-video movies he himself is in homage. Amazingly self-aware, extremely ambitious, and apparently the love child of the VHS and shot-on-video horror community, John Dickie is the up-and-coming horror filmmaker you should all be keeping a severed eye out on.
Mm. Nice.
Wow.
He was wearing a 555 shirt in the movie, which we were like, oh,
yeah, and he also keeps referencing Caninus, which is a demon from the movie Blood Cult, which is a shot-on-video 80s movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really very hilarious.
Well, is he in on the joke?
Oh, he's totally in on the joke. Yeah, he's got a T-shirt on that says this movie's terrible. He keeps telling, like, he's watching his anthologies, and then he's doing the wraparound.
Yeah.
He's like,
this
sucks.
Bad.
This doesn't make any sense. And what's great is see he's, like, 13 in, like, the previews. And then, like, maybe he's by the end, he's, like, 14. Like, his hair gets longer.
Oh, really?
His mom helps him. His mom's in one of them. Like, it's just so funny. It's great.
It sounds very cute.
Yeah, I think you guys get a kick out of it.
I'm going to check it out.
Check it out.
They were eaten.
By what, Mr. Thrust?
As far as we know, it was Tyrannosaurus Rex, the largest carnivore that ever lived. The king of the dinosaurs.
Thank you.
You told me. You swore to all of us that we were not going to harm the dinosaur. We were only supposed to take film and study it.
This animal, this 8-ton animal, is a carnivore. It eats meat. Us. First, we get the dinosaur. Then we talk about leaving.
One of my new obsessions.
Yes.
And I can't get over it. It's been like a month now, and I'm like, just... I'm living in the land of the lost here, is The Last Dinosaur, 1977.
Yep.
It's starring Richard Boone from I Bury the Living and countless other like Westerns and movies. Rankin Bass production. They did King Kong Escapes, Mad Monster Party.
Oh, yeah.
Song lyrics by Jules Bass, sung by Nancy Wilson. The last
Nancy Wilson, really?
Yeah, not that Wilson.
I thought it was...
No, not Nancy Wilson from Heart. Nancy Wilson was like a jazz singer.
I thought it was Nancy Wilson.
African-American jazz singer.
This song is going to blow you away. It leaves me speechless. I've been like playing it and singing it.
You posted the lyrics on Facebook.
The Last Dinosaur signifies the end of an era. The last attempts to cash in on the dinosaur, pseudimation, drive-in monster movie craze, and maybe even improve on it, but it came at the worst time during the recession of the later 1970s, and Rankin Bass productions were running out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that being said, there's a desperate charm attached to this film. And as I was saying before, it seems to be a metaphor for the end of an era. Around this time, Godzilla vs. Megalon, Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, Mechagodzilla all came flooding the scene. Coppola made that awful Hollywood Kong Bomb remake, and a similarly themed dino movie popped out from Japan called Legends of Dinosaurs and Giant Birds, which has to be seen to be believed as well. The dino craze had peaked and was heading for extinction. Last Dinosaur starts with an extremely haunting song, seemingly foreshadowing the genre's demise. and an amazingly hilarious opening credits bit with the girl toy of a haggard millionaire hunter looking through a scrapbook depicting his lifelong trap and kill obsession with big game. Presently bedraggled and bored with life, no thrill left, but maybe one to hunt and kill the last dinosaur.
Absurd.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I know, really.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. After this opening sequence, the movie quickly loses its appeal and turns sour with sourpussed Boone acting drunk and belligerent, probably wanting to get off the set as soon as possible, fussing with all the people who work for him and bitching about getting his last dinosaur. Of course, he promises to only trap it and allow the scientist on board the expedition to study it. But we all know that he is going to kill it.
He's
going to
kill
it. Yeah, he wants to kill it. All it takes.
It's an asshole.
Once the movie's underway, we'll see that Rankin and Bass won't rest until they have killed it too. The hunting expedition sets out in a tunneling drill submarine that bursts through polar ice into a lost prehistoric tropical paradise.
Is it a model?
Yes, it is. Cool. It is. Which resembles a Hollywood backlot or maybe Yellowstone Park, really nondescript and dismal. Could be any neck of the woods and not some mystical land that we would normally expect from Rankin and Bass production. When they finally encounter the T-Rex, Boone is to square off with, he's a goofy, lopsided marionette puppet whose oversized head lollygags to the side and lumbers awkwardly around roaring and charging the group. Even though the group assesses it's too dangerous to study the monster and must be killed, you'll feel sorry for the poor puppet monster because he's kind of cute in a pathetic stray dog way. Mm. Plus, he's the last of his kind, the last dinosaur. And there aren't too many of these rubber monster movies being made anymore, so, like, please, mister, please, don't kill my monster. Please.
Who says that?
That's what I say. No. That's how I feel about this goofy thing. Yeah.
Please.
You know, he's not,
don't kill him.
You know. A pterodactyl steals the sub and hides it with its eggs. The group is forced to make do and start a new life in the land of the lost. Boone stays completely obsessed with killing the T-Rex, and even when the remaining survivors find the sub and repair it.
We guess Boone stays behind.
That's exactly what happens. He stays behind to kill the Muppet. Luckily, we don't see that happen. It's depressing enough this guy didn't just go home and leave the T-Rex alone, especially after catapulting a giant boulder at him that makes his hollow, rubbery dodgeball head squish a bit before he passes out. It's pretty sad.
He's like, Rankin. See this movie? This is terrible.
Rankin Bass would try again.
Did his blood come out?
I think he does bleed a little. Rankin Bass would try again at the giant monster movie and yet another U.S. TV movie and fail even more miserably with The Bermuda Depths, a super slow and sappy mermaid-esque tale featuring a giant sea turtle. Again, I emphasize there is something about the movie that keeps a hook in you. And I think it's the song and the unintentional metaphor for the monster genre's ultimate fade-out. Please listen and become as haunted as I have become.
Wow.
This is actually available through Warner's archive collection as a DVD-R.
Really?
So Warner is now doing DVD-Rs of oddities. So you can go to their archive collection on the internet.
Order one and they'll burn you a copy.
And they'll burn you a
copy. Does it come from Movies Unlimited? Who ships it?
But I don't know.
Okay. And what kind of extras?
I think I got it at Chiller.
What kind of extras are on the disc?
Oh, none. And there's even no menu.
Oh.
It's like totally it's bland. Every menu is the same. It just says, you know, skip ahead.
$20
chapter. $20
And so you own it.
I own it.
Has a cover?
It has a cover.
Yeah.
It's a pretty lame cover.
Whoa. Now, where does this fall in the Rankin Bass canon?
Oh.
What came before it? Do you remember?
Well, what came before it? This that was probably like
The Monster Party, because that movie way still haunts
it.
Me.
Way before it. That's 67.
Really?
You're talking about Mad Monster Party
or 66?
Francesca.
Yeah.
But that's
Francesca.
That's total quality.
Yeah, that's Mad quality.
Monster Party.
Yeah.
You're talking about lame. Shit. It's like a paper mache dinosaur, practically. Really?
No, he's like a Muppet. He's like a marionette kind of. You know,
he's not stop
he's
motion.
Large.
It's
no.
sort of like Land of the Lost.
Oh, really?
No,
it's like a
sort
puppet.
Of like Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost. Like, kind of like
his head lollygags inside and it falls forward. And like there's pterodactyls are on strings. They're not doing too well either. Like,
oh,
it's,
dear.
You know, the Styracosaurus is pretty cool.
Is this movie for children or for adults?
It's for children.
It's for children.
It's a horrible
it's for
theme
children.
For children.
It's for children.
It's
sad.
Kill.
That's what makes it sad.
I saw this in either 6th or 7th grade.
Really?
Yeah, I remember Nicholas Ippolito came in the next day. He's like, you see Last Dinosaur?
Nicholas Ippolito.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. On a side note, though, Rankin and Bass would produce the cartoon The Last Unicorn in 1982, which is actually pretty good. And they stole Roars from Godzilla, Rodan, and King Ghidorah, probably directly from a Monster Zero print, not bothering to edit one monster roar together. They just took a battle, so you hear all the different monster roars. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But and that's like a little more of a heartfelt film, but it's an animation.
The following report to the Royal Geological Society is a true and faithful account of events that befell the Society's expedition in Manchuria. I must accept responsibility for its ending in disaster.
In there.
I told you, a fossil, part ape, part man. It lived 2 million years ago.
Take a ride on the Horror Express. Positively the most blood-chilling thriller ever conceived. Ticket to Hell in Horror Express, starring Telly Savalas and those masters of horror, Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. Horror Express.
And last but not least, if you go to alternativecinema.com, you get the catalog, you'll see that there is now a Blu-ray of the Horror Express.
Yes.
This is a film it's that we all really dig.
And we dig the soundtrack.
Yeah, and we dig the soundtrack, but it's not Les Baxter, right? Unless it's under a different name. Who is it?
No, it's a different
guy.
Yeah,
I forgot his name. But it's directed by Eugenio Martin, 1972. He actually wrote Psychomania. He wrote the script for Psychomania. He's a blacklisted writer from the blacklisting, Hollywood blacklisting. I guess they thought he was a communist.
Okay.
And he wrote the crazy script for Psychomania. You know, the bikers and everything. It's
John
a great movie.
Kakavas.
John Kakavas did the soundtrack, which is also haunting with that whistle. And now, there you go. The film stars Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, Telly Savalas.
Yes.
A bunch of different crazy characters all on the same train, one of which Christopher Lee's character has this sort of Yeti frozen in ice and
like a prehistoric man.
Prehistoric man, sort of like a Neanderthal man or a Yeti. Yet, you find that it is actually an alien.
Yep.
Now, this is what's really bizarre. This alien gets thawed out and then proceeds to kind of switch bodies throughout the throughout the train. And what it does is it takes the knowledge from each person's mind and actually wipes their brain clear and smooth in doing so, and they bleed from the eyes.
Did you have that happen, John?
Once. It was not pleasant.
It's yeah, and then you have to re-memorize everything.
Every week it happens to me.
So the interesting thing about this, though, is as you kind of unravel all these characters, you find that they're all kind of jerks and out for themselves and selfish, and it's sort of like a commentary on humanity. And the only real pure being in the whole movie is the alien, who, you know, it's okay for him to kill these people because he's trying to survive and get out of there.
What would you do?
What would you do? Exactly. It's really pretty amazing film. And so you should definitely check it out.
Too.
Oh, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
Now we can actually see it. See,
yeah,
though,
right.
Because on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but the copy I saw was a VHS copy from you, I think.
You have Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I'm totally getting it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you got to see it. It looks great. But I will say though, I think it was rushed. I think the transfer was rushed because it looks like it seriously needed some color correction.
Oh, really?
There's like some scene to scene where it's like exposure gets really super bright,
oh,
and that
really?
May have been inherent in the original filming, but.
Well, maybe
so who knows?
The print that they had.
And it was a 1.66, I think. Mm-hmm. I've been reading that it's a 1.66, and I'm wondering if they zoomed in a little to make it a 1.78 because the credits are like right at the edge of the screen.
Oh, really? Yeah,
they're not
probably.
In any safe, so it's possible that it was.
Who put it out?
It's
Severin Films.
Severin Films.
Mm. You can buy it from alternativecinema.com.
Yeah, how much?
How much?
Oh, it's not much. I think it's like $17.99 or less.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it might even be $12.99.
It's a DVD/Blu-ray. Get two discs.
It's
a
must.
You got it. If you're a fan of the movie, really got to get this because...
If you're not a fan of the movie...
If you're a fan of Telly Savalas, you got to have it.
You have never seen this movie this clear before.
Yeah.
You've only seen crappy TV prints or the even crappier... VHS that you bought at Sam Goody in 1970.
VHSs back then were like
87.
The $10 VHSs.
Yeah. Yep.
SP. I think I
have Horror Express on that.
You'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
this quality
SP.
Is awesome.
Yeah, you pick it up, you look at it, there's only this much videotape.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're just like, what? Wait.
Yeah.
What is this?
Hold on.
So, you really do have to check this out.
In 2 seconds.
Zip. What else, Bill?
Williams.
That's it.
Great.
That's all I got.
We come back. Some listener letters.
Oh,
yeah, great.
You have one.
Oh, wait.
Oh,
I got a letter.
Let's take a break.
Did.
Hey, this is Michael Rosso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast, here to tell you about KillerReviews.com. That's right, KillerReviews.com. Greg Dumont, you know, our pal, Greg. KillerReviews.com and the Killer Reviews Podcast. That's right. Fans of the AC podcast will love the Killer Reviews podcast. KillerReviews.com. Reviews, blogs, a forum, Film Finder, the KR Store, Girls of Horror, The Graveyard, Interview, Articles, Horror Arcade. Should I go on and on and on? If you like cult movies, spooky horror, or girls in bikinis, KillerReviews.com. The podcast, the site, be there. KillerReviews.com. Check it out.
Hey, I'm Noel Anderson, cartoonist, radio announcer, and AC podcast wannabe.
Now that's just sad.
It's sad, and it's pathetic.
I know. I've diabolically insinuated myself into the AC family by producing the first ever Seduction Cinema comic book.
Ooh, very sexy.
That's right. Playmate of the Apes is now a comic book. For more info on my ridiculous artwork and how it can be used to promote and market your movie, go to goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. Want me to draw you some dirty pictures? Goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. You want to see what other filth I've drawn over the years?
What a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Goofroof.com.
Hey, we're back. Let me lead off.
You lead.
This is actually should have been part of news. This was sent in by Jason West. He says, hey, guys, I run a horror and sci-fi garage sale, and being that you are one of my fave companies, well, that's awful nice, I figured I'd write you in hopes that I can work out some sort of deal with you. This whole event is being funded out of my pocket, and we are now holding two big raffles to try to make some of the money back. I don't understand what he's saying. when is this event? June 30th. Okay, June 30th is a horror and sci-fi garage sale. Here it is. The annual Syracuse Horror and Sci-Fi Garage Sale gears up for round two.
The annual Syracuse Horror and Sci-Fi Garage Sale,
a local fan favorite, is proud to announce their second annual event. Jason West, the event's founder, had to say, I expect this year's numbers to exceed our expectations. Our fans have really shown a lot of interest, as well as the many vendors. He went on to say, we are really pushing promotion this year and making this year's event a day to remember. We encourage all to try to make it down, and we promise we will have a blast. The David Royale, probably Royal, but to me it's David Royale.
Cheeseburger Royale.
This event is perfect for all ages and family members. We may have an event filled with horrific items and scary sci-fi memorabilia, But we still make it that everyone can have a great time.
Bring the kids. There'll be lollipops.
This is an event where a multitude of people can gather to buy, sell, and trade horror and sci-fi related memorabilia. Hmm. Vendors and members of the public are encouraged to visit the Facebook page for registration. Right. And that is facebook.com/horrorscifi315. That's sci-fi spelled the real way, S-C-I-F-I. facebook.com/horrorscifi315. Great.
Over there at the AC warehouse, Justin came upon an interesting letter attached to an order.
Oh.
So he gave that to me for the podcast.
Handwritten.
This is a handwritten, and the order was handwritten on the order page and mailed in.
Wow. Great.
It was a mail-in.
Were there any coins in there?
There was a money order.
Okay.
Yeah. So all in quotas. So this is from Donald Cole, 17th of May, 2012. I received your catalog from Grafton, North Dakota this week. So to keep you from losing any money on me due to postage and overhead, here is an order. And you remember me, and as a grain of sand on the seashore, this order just helps keep you moving. I saw you t-shirt ad, internet radio program, etc. Your new attractive star, Erin Russ. She was working three slots, shints, radio, and DVD. So to honor her, I ordered pork chop. My first choice was Breaking Her Will with Jackie Stevens, etc. It just says, so to nice to Erin Russ, you should too instead of one. Hard work in radio, etc. I have one or two more I will order soon, etc. So long, money order enclosed.
Wow.
That's cool. See, he's got the right spirit. That
he really does.
Instead of buying Breaking Her Will, he bought pork chop.
I think he bought both of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good job, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
Donald? Thank you, Donald, if you listen.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Donald, thank you very much.
That's very, very nice.
That's the spirit.
Donald.
Yep.
That's the spirit.
Write in. Write in more.
So if you want to see Erin Russ have sex with a robot, you get pork chop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to see Jackie Stevens eat out of a dog dish, get Breaking Her Will. Here's a letter. Okay. Big, fat, sweaty greetings from the land of 10,000 lakes, Mike. This is from Noel Scotch Anderson.
Hey!
And hello as well to Juicy John Fidelli.
Hey, Juicy. Whoa.
Wicked
no,
William
a little
Hellfire.
There.
Wicked William Hellfire.
Hey, Wicked.
And America's psychotic sweetheart, Erin Russ.
Aww.
I really enjoyed the fast food Cinco de Mayo themed podcast last time around.
Ugh.
I'm sorry about your stomach issues, John, but you really should have eaten the Doritos taco like everyone else for the sake of the show.
I'd still have diarrhea if I did that.
Sometimes you gotta suck it up and take one for the team whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe some of the crap I've eaten for the sake of morning radio. Burger King released a sandwich in Japan called the Meat Monster.
Ooh.
But we had to make one up special for me on air.
Ooh.
It contains two beef patties, one grilled chicken breast, three slices of bacon, three slices of cheese, teriyaki sauce, lettuce, tomatoes, etc.
Is there a good shit story attached to that?
I was only able to eat half of it, but I gave it a shot. They should include a couple of free
defibrillators. Yeah.
Defibrillator paddles when you order, something like that.
Defibrillators.
Remember, John, it ain't entertainment until somebody pukes. Hey.
Yeah, I had heartburn from that.
Oh, did you really? From Taco Bell?
Yeah, remember I started, I was like, I feel funny.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad I didn't do it.
Hey, thanks for yakking about the
so
comic
good,
book.
Though.
Thanks for yakking about the comic book. I want to be on your podcast and goof around with you miserable bastards when the comic comes out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we start a Kickstarter account to get money to bring Scotch in.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can have him phone in.
I don't know how I'll ever manage getting out to New Jersey, but I'm sure it would be fun. Playmate of the Apes was a blast to adapt into a comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Is it on the AC site yet?
Yes,
no,
it is.
It is.
It's available.
It's available?
When does it come out?
Or is it upcoming?
When does it actually come out?
I think it comes out either this month or next month.
It's on the website, whether it's new releases or upcoming releases. I cannot remember because I checked both.
Scott says, it's funny that you recognize Justin Wingenfeld in the comic book. I just couldn't help myself. He's so recognizable.
Yeah, absolutely.
In all those crowd shots in his Fred Flintstone costume.
Yay, Justin.
But I don't think anyone has a face as ripe for caricature as John Link.
Yeah, that's me, John Link.
He did a great job with him, too.
Say, that Video Violence t-shirt ad where William has a saw in his head is hilarious. So there you have it. As always, I enjoy the hell out of the podcast and hope you guys keep on doing what you're doing. Maybe someday I'll get out there and be able to knock back some disgusting fast food slag with you guys.
Yeah.
And talk low-budget monster movies.
All right.
Scotch.
Scotch.
Yeah. It's available for pre-order.
Oh. Okay.
The Playmate of the Apes deluxe comic book and DVD package.
How much?
$10.
Ridiculous. $9.99. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So cheap.
So we want...
Perfect.
All the tens of listeners of AC Podcast to go to alternativecinema.com coming soon and buy the Playmate of the Apes comic book. And
you can pre-order it now.
Pre-order it now. And you could order now the Video Violence t-shirt.
Yes.
We have it in every size, every shape and size.
Mm-hmm. Available July 12th.
Oh.
That's the street date.
Yeah,
we even have a comic book?
For the comic book and DVD
summertime
package.
Yeah.
So next month we'll have a comic book here.
Nice.
Have you seen it yet, Aaron?
I have not seen it.
Saw the prototype, right?
Prototype, yeah.
Okay.
Did I?
Okay. Whatever you call that, we saw that.
Apparently at the Chiller Show, John Link couldn't get his hands off of it. We only had a prototype.
Aww.
Give me that. That's awesome.
That's me.
So he's bringing people to the table.
You have to see this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All this is caused by UFOs.
I really saw him naked.
Oh, really?
So did Bill. Dancing
we're
around
in the movie
naked
with him. He's naked.
With Linnea Quigley.
Is that right?
Does he have like big junk?
Big cape song.
He's got Johnny Junk.
Okay,
he's got Johnny Junk.
They were dancing to "Sweet Child of Mine" by Guns N' Roses. So every time I hear that song, I picture Johnny Link and Linnea Quigley dancing around naked with capes on.
They were both naked with capes on.
Yeah.
How's Johnny Link?
She has a great body.
Is there like video footage of that somewhere?
No. It's Super 8 and
it's for Blood Wings, but this was behind the scenes footage that no one was recording but should have.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I think it's all Super 8, right?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic to see.
And 16, maybe it's 16 and.
Maybe it's 16 and Super 8.
Hey man, we got some great. We're gonna be leaving today. We got some great stuff. And, of course, we're going to play at the very end the full That Dead Girl.
Yay, I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah.
By
very
Pink
cool.
Delicates.
I'm Woo! So happy. I want the download.
Oh, yes. Yes. So that's it, folks. We're going to see you next month on the Alternative Cinema Podcast, where we're going to surprise you, hopefully, with appearances by John the Trackman.
Yay!
Telling his like famous shit stories.
Yay!
And maybe we'll get the Pink Delicates down here to play some live music.
Fun.
Our summer shoe.
Wow.
Summer shindig.
And if you don't mind out there, we really need to hear from you.
Send an email.
We want a gift card.
Podcast. Aaron Russ wants a McDonald's gift card.
Wow.
It's not going to go to AC. It's going to go.
You know what? I'm so bad. I had a large number one 2 days in a row this past week.
Whoa.
Isn't that terrible?
I'm jealous.
I'm so bad.
I love a number one.
How can you do it?
They're just so addictive.
They're good.
The
maps
are so
good.
Good.
I tell you, my only bad food addiction is Coffee Heath Bar Crunch.
Oh.
And
the whole fucking pint.
What did you just eat half a box of?
Oh, those Tim
Tams.
Tim Tams.
They're deadly.
Podcast at alternativecinema.com. Yo. Old fashioned letter to P.O. Box 152, Butler, New Jersey.
Butler.
07405.
Jeeves.
And
he's a butler.
And we're going to see you next month.
Okay. I hope so. Hope to see you.
Bye. See you later. Take it easy.
Bought a root beer, I keep it fizzing. Got some bounce checks and blurry vision. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell. Load up my butt bomb, now shit is kicking. Put on some records, I make you sixing. Yeah, there ain't nothing that I'll be missing. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell. I'm robo-tripping through the gates of hell. We'll be right back. leather jacket and leather stitching. It's Darth Vader waiting in the kitchen. It's Robo tripping through the gates of hell. It's Robo tripping through the gates of hell. I got a problem, just never fit it. I can't a problem, I'm almost bitching. You cannot stop me, and I won't listen. I'm Robo tripping through the gates of hell. I'm Robo tripping through the gates of hell.
こんばんは。全世界35カ国で放送されているはずのベストヒット TV、 お相手は光トリック使ってますマッシュミナミです。今夜のゲストはナイスでビッグなアメリカのムービースターです。実はマッシュとはアパートの隣同士に住んで以来のもう親友なんです。それでは早速お呼びしましょう。 Ladies and gentlemen Mr. Bob Harris Come on デデラデンデデラデンデデラデンもうね、ずっと最近ね、メールばっかだったから会えて本当に嬉しい。どうぞどうぞおかけください。いや嬉しいもん。あ、そうだ、あのね、ちょっとね、歓迎の意味を込めて日本のダンスを踊りますね。
He wants to show you his dance.
ジャパニーズダンスね。
ちょっと訳して。
Japanese dance. Do I have to dance with him?
いきます。あ、トトンガトン、トトンガトン、セットトンガトン、トトンガトン。あ、ボブボブボブボブ、よう来たな、ボブ。
Welcome, Bob. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Ha 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 ha